Welcome to the Innovators and Investors Podcast. This episode is from the Momentum Series, resurfacing the most popular episodes from our archives to shine a light on the continued growth of companies in our network. And now, on to the show.
And welcome to the Innovators and Investors Podcast. I'm your host, Christian Marquez, founder and CEO of FinStrat Management. Super excited today because we have with us Justin Henshaw, founder and CEO of Gage. Justin, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me.
Our pleasure. So with that, we use this podcast really to showcase founders like yourself who are doing great work in the early stage ecosystem, and really want to use this opportunity to share your experience with other founders, investors who are looking to invest in early stage companies. And with that, let's just start with brass tacks. We'd love to know what inspired you to start Gage.
Yeah, so I'm from a military background. I spent my 20s in the United States Marine Corps infantry, multiple combat tours to Iraq and Afghanistan. And then I got out and I went to college, took my GI Bill, but I became an entrepreneur in college. I opened up my first food truck and business, and that led to a career of 14 years and over 14 businesses and restaurants. And I had the idea of Gage within those businesses. For me, maybe it was going from the military into the shift in hourly workforce, but I knew exactly what the problem was. So let's talk about shift in hourly workforce, for example. It's 60% of our entire labor market. Okay. 80 million Americans are engaged in shift in hourly work. And these are the unsung heroes of our entire economy and our way of life. They serve us. These are the people that literally serve us and is responsible for this quality of life. And they are also the most underserved segment, especially within the tech space. The problem with the shift in hourly workforce is that nothing means anything. Nothing matters. It's all disposable, seemingly clock in, clock out, go to sleep, repeat. That's really the crux of the problem. There's not a promise of tomorrow being better than today. There's not a platform on which you can grow and you can, you know, have a GPS or a North Star to something better, right? And in the military, everything matters. In the military, every class you take, every deployment, every training, every medal, every PFT score, everything is added up and added to your personal record, your service record. And it adds value to who you are and your journey within the military or later government, whatever you want to do. And mine is actually still in a safety deposit box. It's my property. And so I said, that's the problem. There's just nothing there. And so within my businesses and restaurants, I created many years ago a recognition system. I had a scoring component. And back then it was just a spreadsheet, but it was a shareable document between me and the employee where they got to record. We got to record all of their accomplishments, time, how long they spent with me, peer-to-peer connections, endorsements, managerial remarks, evaluations, customer feedback. All of it went into their record and they got to keep it and they loved it. And it brought this spirit of team and camaraderie, and they were even competing with each other. I'm in the 600s, where are you at? No, I'm in the 700s, you better step up. It did more to increase our retention and help with the culture within our workplace than anything I've ever tried. Bonuses, pizza parties, gift cards, none of that worked. This worked. And so they convinced me to bring it to the world, and that's where it is. And the spreadsheet that we had one very big problem though, and this was the light bulb moment. Whenever they left working for me, they couldn't take it with them. And I was like, wow, that in itself is that's the problem with every managerial tool out there. Every engagement software, or whether it's a filing cabinet or actually a SaaS product, the employee can't take it with them. So that was when lightning struck. And so Gage is the first universal employment scoring and recognition community for the shift in hourly workforce. Unlike every other system out there, our system transfers with the employee. The data is owned by the employee. This gives them, it's more valuable to them, and that makes it more effective as a management tool to the employer.
I'd love to hear your thoughts. So brilliant idea, first off. And yeah, you know, probably there are a lot of people who would agree that there's an entire segment of the workforce that just they're not thinking about on a daily basis, yet absolutely makes the world go round.
Makes our life possible. That's right.
So one challenge that a lot of software companies face is adoption. Now, what are the steps that you're taking to ensure the world knows about Gage?
So we are in, well, let's just tell you about our progress so far. So we launched a beta, an actual mobile app and desktop platform. We launched it early last year, and we went from zero to 60 business accounts, zero to 3,000 users or so, and $60,000 in revenue, all within that beta. And it was a beta, so it was a prototype. But it was, people are still using it and paying for it today. Our highest usage customer right now is a Chick-fil-A. And we're actually just getting in all of this feedback from the customers and building Gen 2. So Gen 2 is going to be the scalable version of this. I think we're way ahead of the curve in regards to this. First off, this sells very well. The go-to-market strategy is two-pronged. We have a direct mid-level to large enterprise approach where we land and expand. We get in with franchisors, multi-unit operators, something that that's what we've been doing. So we have pilots lined up with national brands. I can't mention their names, but to get in trouble, but we have national pilots lined up within those brands. But we also have an organic nature to gauge, which is the employees will be the ones driving this. Mark my words. Now I tell investors and everybody, I was like, listen, we have a very significant sales pipeline and it works, but we're also going to have this organic component, which is the secret sauce. So with Gage, within our community alone, we had over 200 businesses signed up for our wait list, and they're still on the wait list because we only got to 60. And within our network, we were able to prove that we had network effect, meaning that the more businesses and employees use it, the more valuable it became. But we also had virality because the employees were sharing it with other employees and other places of businesses. So we're really excited about Gen 2 coming out.
And whether it's beta or Gen 2, I presume that there's this idea that independent of the businesses, individual users can take their account with them.
Yeah, it's similar to the Slack model, right? And all I mean by that is that the employees are able to engage with the product without the employer participating in the beginning. If an employee takes their Gage to a new place of business, they can create an account, they can message each other, they can give high fives and touch points with each other. And then of course the employer comes along for the ride eventually, right? That's very similar to the Slack model. But right now with beta, it was very much employer driven. It was very much the business signing up, which beta had two main problems. One, onboarding, which we've perfected with basically like the social media invite. If the employee fills out all their information, the business doesn't have to do anything but accept an invitation, right? So onboarding needs to be fixed. And then the second one was messaging. We needed more messaging within Gage, and that's what Gen 2 is focused on, because every business uses some form of communication within their business, right? Group messaging, team messaging is very important. But now what they're doing, even if they're using Gage actively, they're jumping from Gage into another messaging platform, right? So we're going to, again, replace that other one with Gage with this new messaging tools.
So a little bit in the weeds, but I know other founders and investors would love hearing. So validating ideas. So you're in beta, you start to see 3,000 users. Did you have a certain threshold that you set for yourself to say, hey, this is how I'm going to confirm that I this idea is going to get legs?
We onboarded like crazy as best we could. We broke the wheels off of beta. We got to, again, it was just a prototype. And frankly, we stopped onboarding new customers because the product just started to deteriorate because it was a prototype. And that's why we're focused all in with Gen 2. But the problem with, again, the onboarding, like it took 2 or 3 weeks to onboard a single business because we had to get files and onboard them and upload them, all that kind of stuff. But that'll be irrelevant with Gen 2. I think our goal with beta was to prove product market fit. And I believe that we've done that. I believe that because people are paying for it, people have bought into the idea of it. Our feedback is 97% positive. I believe that we have a very valuable product and a unique idea that is a true disruptor. And that's what we sought out to do with beta.
So as you start to get product market fit, your thoughts go to scale. What are your initial thoughts? And with the complete understanding that, you know, scaling top line or just usage can change depending on the stage. But I'd love to hear your thoughts. I know our audience would too, about how you're thinking about going broad and why.
I think it's going after those larger brands that is going to be the secret. I think that again, if I could tell you the brand specifically that has already signed up for beta, for the pilot for Gen 2, you would understand the reasoning behind it, because these are businesses that have a really strong employee culture, or they genuinely in their messaging care about the employee. I can use Chick-fil-A as an example, because that's not one of the pilots. We have Chick-fil-A operators and owners using the product, but they very much care about their employee. So it sells very well to people that have that type of culture. So I think those are the brands that are going to help us grow this the most. And that's where family offices, particularly seeking investment through family offices, is going to be very powerful too, because those are the connections that we truly need to make a significant impact and grow this fast. But we also have the organic component, which it takes a little bit of finessing, but I think we have it, because the employees want to use this. Once they start building their score, they start growing their score, they start being recognized and valued for what it is they contribute. Then they want to keep it and they want to continue growing it and they want to take it to the next place of business and then their next place of business. And that's that. We already have the biggest testament we have is we have examples within our community of people getting hired because of their Gauge score. And we also have examples, very specific testimonials of people knowing that they got paid more because of their Gauge score. Now, that makes all the sense in the world if you're an employer. If you're an employee, I have one position open, right? I've got two candidates in front of me. One of them, I don't know from Adam, right? I see them. They've got maybe a paper resume, but I'm not checking references because I don't have time. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to give you a shot, but I'm going to pay you here. Then you got this other one. It's got a Gauge and they come in with like 600. And you're, first off, just having Gauge and showing it off tells me a lot about that person. But then they're validated at that point. And so not only am I going to hire them, but I'm going to pay them more because it's in my best interest to do so.
And are you finding there any industry segments that are most amenable to adopting that?
Yeah. So like our ICP right now are multi-unit operators, particularly franchisees or even small franchisors, between 50 to 150 employees per unit. So yeah, and that's interesting too, because it makes sense if you think about it, but we didn't know that was part of the beta journey. Like we went after small mom and pop coffee shops, people with 5 or 10 employees, and they're like, I can high five them in person right here. I don't need Gauge. But the bigger the business is, you do need something to help you get engaged with your employees. And so I think that the 50 to 150 per unit, and again, multi-unit operators, if they're in some form of a corporate structure anyway, then they're used to tools. They're used to new systems, adopting new systems, like Chick-fil-A, for example. But I'll also say that we've talked a lot about restaurants, but we're in banking right now. We have pilots lined up with a national bank. We have healthcare. We're in fitness. It really just has to do with, and those are industries that I didn't pursue. Again, all of this growth has been organic and just word of mouth. We didn't have any marketing dollars behind this, but all of these industries came to us because they need help engaging with their shift in hourly workforce. Yep.
So anyone who started a company knows there's more things to do than there is time to do it. And one of the things, so FinStrat works with predominantly software as a service, now AI based companies. And we consistently hear that reporting is always top in mind for an end user. What's your experience been in terms of broad business focus reporting, incorporating KPIs at this part or this stage in the business?
We're, again, still in beta. So beta doesn't really have any of those tools that we need to track usage and gate. All we can do is interview users. And that's what we do. We talk to real users, finding them really use it. We've literally walked into places of businesses just to see if they're using it, how they're using it, just to get that real world feedback. Those tools that we have to build out within Gen 2 are going to be present. So we can have a little bit more of our finger on the pulse of that. I'm in a Techstars program right now, and identifying our KPIs is very much a part of this journey. Right now, because we're rebuilding Gen 2 and we're not technically engaging in new accounts, we're focused on pilots. We're focused on getting people on the wait list, getting people motivated, interested in using it. And then of course, fundraising.
Sure. Great segue. My next question, fundraising. I'd love to hear, whether it's Gauge or other, what your experience has been to date, and if there's any words of wisdom you'd share with other entrepreneurs who are listening to this.
Words of wisdom would imply that I'm wise at it. And I don't think I am yet. We launched this probably, everybody jokes that had I launched Gauge a year or two before, it would have been great. It would have been perfect. And But we launched really at the point where the rates were so high, it was killing people, anybody fundraising. It's not just startups, VC groups themselves are having problems raising money. Why are you going to risk your, you know, money when you're making so much, just leaving it in the bank? And it's just, so that climate's been tough. All I can say is just keep at it. It's just, you just got to keep going. And the one thing you can say about Marines are we sure are stubborn. Like there's not a whole lot of quit in us, to our own detriment sometimes. But yeah, we don't like that word quit.
100% appreciate that. If you had your druthers and you had your choice of investors, have you thought about, or are there any qualities in an investor that are important to you? Would you rather them be more hands-off, or would you prefer someone who's actively involved, or in between?
I don't mind any partner actively. My druthers, it would have to be somebody with the spirit and the heart for the shift in how they work for us like we do. My CPO, my entire team, these people are so responsible for our happiness and just our quality of life. And I just feel like they need something more, something better, that the status quo is not good enough right now. So I think their heart has to be in the right place. Obviously, being in the business would be very helpful. So family offices that are either connected into retail or food and beverage, those would be ideal partners. And be involved, absolutely. I'm not one of those founders that give me a check and get the hell out. I feel like everybody has such an incredible contribution to the business and to our growth that I would be foolish to take that perspective, especially if there are investors that are in this space that know the plight of the shift and rally workers. And I think that those would be my favorite investors or partners.
Okay. And if you wanted to show, so it sounds like you have a great team, and yeah. Any challenges or big obstacles the team had to overcome that you'd want to showcase?
Other than fundraising, that's a big one. I think that we've raised half. So what we did, we launched a pre-seed fund around, it was 800,000. We have about half of that raised. And we have a VC group out of Texas. They were our lead investors. They're called Eagle Venture Fund. And we love those guys. They started everything for us. And then, so we got about half of that done. We're getting ready to close that round down most likely here soon, because we're building up to our seed round, which is once Gen 2 is built and we're through this TechStars program. The hurdles within the team, we've had some troubles. Just beta was not where we thought it would be. We thought it was going to be much scalable, much more of an opportunity than it was. And then once we got to the level of customer and usage, we were like, all right, this thing is really going to fall off the rails here. We need to just slow down, tap the brakes, and we want to make sure we take care of our customers that are paying for it and that our service. But we really wanted beta to do more. But it accomplished what it did. It gave us our proof of that of product market fit. It allowed us to speak to investors, because that's what they want at the end of the day, right? They want a good return on their investment. So I think we're there. But now we just have to focus on Gen 2. But that's been hard for me to put so much into a product that I wanted at least to be able to get on like 100 accounts, but 60, I'll stop there.
Okay.
But that's the way of it. This is a startup, and that's what prototypes and betas are for. They live up to expectations or they don't. In most cases, they don't. And you just have to pivot, or not pivot, but you just have to get back on the horse and build something that does work better.
Yeah, very well said. I think that's the part that people who are starting out for the first time don't necessarily realize, that you have to just go for it, incorporate what you learn, and appreciate that things may not necessarily go to plan or work out at all.
They never go to plan. It's like that famous quote. Oh, I'm going to butcher it because I'm on the spot. What was it Mike Tyson said? Everybody has a game plan until they're punched in the mouth. Like I've probably butchered that, but it was great because everybody, you can have a plan and you should have a plan and you should always have a plan. But knowing that things are not always going to match is strong.
And I think other people hearing entrepreneurs like yourself say that is very valuable.
Yeah.
Before we wrap up, thank you again for coming on the show. A lot of great insights here. How can people find you? And before we wrap up, anything else that you'd want to share to anybody listening?
There were so many times where, you know, I felt Gage was on the cusp of just not making it. There was many times where I was like, okay, if we don't get this investor, if we don't get this deal, if we don't have this KPI, whatever, that almost shut things down. But then a door opened and here we are. One of my favorite movies is Castaway. Remember that old Tom Hanks movie? There's this monologue at the end, and the whole story is just based off of this idea that you never know what tomorrow brings. Like, you could be just lost and you could be just down on yourself, and you never know what the tide is going to bring you. And in that case, in the movie, it brought him a sail, right? Spoiler alert, sorry. But you never know what tomorrow brings. So you just got to keep at it. You just got to keep at it. And that's what we've done. And here we are. I'm in New York City in the TechStars program. Less than 1% of the applicants of this program got accepted. And here I am. So we're excited. You just got to keep on.
It's awesome. Justin, website?
GageWork, G-A-G-E, work.com is the website. And you guys can certainly find me on LinkedIn. I think.
Good stuff. Everybody who's listening again, Justin Henshaw, founder and CEO of Gage. Justin, thank you so much for being a guest. A lot of great insights there. And I appreciate you sharing them with the ecosystem. Thank you.
Thanks, Christian. Appreciate you, man.
Christian Marquez here. Thank you so much for listening to the Innovators and Investors podcast. If you're a successful founder or an investor, would like to be on the podcast, please visit podcast.finstratmgmt.com/podcast-guest. If you've got something out of this interview, please share this episode on social media. If you know someone that would be a great guest, please tag them on social media to let them know about the show and include the hashtag Innovators and Investors. I'd love to see your posts and suggestions. We're regularly putting out new episodes and content. To make sure you catch each new episode, please subscribe to the Innovators and Investors podcast. And your thumbs up, ratings, and reviews go a long way to help promote the show, and it means a lot to me and my team. Would you like to know more? Go to our website, finstratmgmt.com, or follow us on LinkedIn or on X. Our handle is @finstratmgmt. This is Christian Marquez. Thank you for listening. Until next time.